From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Book of Romans as he brings the final portion of a message called Old News, New News, Good News. In verses 9 and 10, Paul gave one of the best descriptions of the way of salvation to be found in the New Testament, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As Dr. Cairns has explained, Paul is talking about a particular kind of faith in this passage. This is not a simple assent to historical fact, but a wholehearted reliance upon Christ for salvation. True saving faith accepts the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes to God on His terms, with no reservations. Saving faith is characterized by having the imputed righteousness of Christ, as well as by open confession of Christ as Savior and Lord. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 51. Strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. On this account the faces of the Lord's people were covered with shame, for it was a terrible thing that men should intrude into the holy place reserved for the priests alone. Everywhere about us we see like cause for sorrow. How many ungodly men are now educating with the view of entering into the ministry? How fearful it is that ordinances should be pressed upon the unconverted, and that among the more enlightened churches of our land there should be such laxity of discipline. If those who hear this devotional shall all take this matter before the Lord Jesus this day, He will interfere and avert the evil which else will come upon His church. To adulterate the church is to pollute a well, to pour water upon fire, to sow a fertile field with stones. May we all have grace to maintain in our own proper way the purity of the church, as being an assembly of believers, and not an unsaved community of unconverted men. Our zeal must, however, begin at home. Let us examine ourselves as to our right to eat at the Lord's table. Let us see to it that we have on our wedding garment, lest we ourselves be intruders in the Lord's sanctuaries. Many are called, but few are chosen. The way is narrow, and the gate is straight. Oh, for grace to come to Jesus aright, with the faith of God's elect! He who smote Uzzah for touching the ark is very jealous of his two ordinances. As a true believer, I may approach them freely. As an alien, I must not touch them, lest I die. Heart-searching is the duty of all who are baptized or come to the Lord's table. Search me, O God, and know my way. Try me, and know my heart.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, my Savior, know my thoughts.
cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
You know, the word if sometimes has the simple meaning of since. It's a simple condition, and it can only mean since this, this, then this. There are times in the Greek New Testament when there is what some grammarians call that simple condition. There are times when the word may actually have the significance of since. Not saying it always has or must have, but there are many times when it has that color to it. There are various classes of conditional statements that are made in the Greek New Testament. I'm going to zero in on this one. For example, let me just back up a little. There is an if that means if, and I'm assuming this to be true, you do something, then this will happen. The one before us is very carefully chosen. And let me paraphrase the full force of the if, which certainly would not have been lost on the people to whom it was written. If, and it is assumed that you may, not that you will, for only time will tell. If you confess and believe, you shall be saved. This is the very same truth that we noted in verses when I was dealing with that passage in Deuteronomy. Paul is saying, you may. I want you to understand this. And I would to God that all the hyper-Calvinistic brethren would get the force of what Paul is saying. Because even the mood of a verb is inspired of the Holy Ghost. And when Paul uses what's called here the subjunctive mood, it is to give it the subjunctive force. And the subjunctive force is, yes, you may believe. Now, that comes over in English as if he's saying, I'm giving you permission to believe. That's not, again, an accurate representation. What he's saying is, look, listen to me. Here is a simple conditional statement with the necessary consequence. If, and I'm assuming not that you will do so, but I'm assuming that you may do so. If you will confess and believe, then here is an absolute certainty. You shall be saved. I've been talking about predestination. I've been talking about election. I've been talking about the divine will. I've been talking about the sovereignty of God. And I know your brain is going to be perplexed. And you're going to have this question and that question and the other question. But let me boil it all down to the simple essentials. If you may come to Christ, confessing Him as Lord, abandoning hope in yourself, confiding your soul to Him with all your heart. If with your heart you believe on Christ, you shall be saved. That's what Paul is saying here. And the consequence is absolutely plain and clear. There's no may be saved. Perhaps be saved. There's a chance you'll be saved. For a while you'll be saved. But if you come to Him, as you may, you will be saved. Now, will you be saved? Time will tell. Not because the salvation's uncertain. Because what is uncertain to Paul, to me, is whether you will come to Christ. But if you will come to Him, then certainly, inevitably, eternally, and irreversibly, you shall be saved. And then in verse 10, here's the character of saving faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm not going to take time to preach that text in any depth or detail tonight. I sometimes make the mistake of remembering to look at my watch. And I made that mistake just now. And into my mind came a picture of people in the nursery, and into my ear came the voice of my well-beloved saying, if you ever had to do a night in the nursery, you would preach a whole lot more briefly. So if you all get home before midnight, you have Joan to thank. But here's the character of saving faith now in verse 10. And I want you to notice it has both personal or private and public elements. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I'm always amazed at the exactness of how Paul puts these things. Why should I be amazed? After all, it's the inspired word of God. Do you see this? It's with the heart man believeth. Believing is actually not just, as I've said, an intellectual exercise. It is this soul abandonment to Christ. And the result of that is justification. But you see, I can't see the heart. I cannot read the inner recesses of the soul. But God can. And where there is a heart humbled to confess a need of Christ, where there is a heart humbled to give up its proud, boasted independence, where there is a heart humbled just to take Christ as he's offered in the gospel, God says the result is justification, the righteousness of Christ imputed. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How do I know you're saved? Ultimately, only the Lord knows those who are his. But I take the words of Christ very seriously. By a man's words, he will be justified. By a man's words, he'll be condemned. By a man's words, he can be accepted as a Christian if his life tallies with his words, obviously. And this confession of Christ is what identifies you as a saved person. And Paul is making that very clear. So there are private and public elements. And let me bring them both together with two simple statements. There is no such thing as a dumb faith. A dumb faith cannot save. Now, I'm getting back to ground I covered a little while ago, and I don't want to thrash a dead horse. Well, I would to God this horse were dead. But I want you to understand this. These people who say they have a faith that has no living confession of Christ, they're not saved. If Christ is not your confessed Lord, you're not saved. Saving faith cannot be a dumb faith. The second statement I'll make is this. A faithless profession cannot save either. You see, I'm tired hearing, oh, just pray the sinner's prayer. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, save me. So you've called, now you must be saved. even though there's no personal commitment to Christ. Faithless profession cannot save. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made. And when you bring them both together, you've got the glorious truth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, remember what Paul means there. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised because of our justification. And believing that God hath raised him from the dead is an all-embracing statement that is saying, by simple, childlike faith, I am abandoning myself to the merits of the finished work of Jesus Christ for my salvation. And if that is so, then you shall be saved. You shall be saved. When? Well, you'll be saved the moment that happens. That's the promise. You'll be saved the moment it happens. You'll continue to be saved, because here's the thing about saving faith. It's never in the past tense. There's no such thing as a person who used to believe but no longer believes. If there's a person who no longer believes in Jesus, he never believed in Jesus. Saving faith is always in the present tense. So you believe, you shall be saved when? Right now. You'll continue to be saved. And you shall be saved, as we'll see when we get to the next section, at the judgment day, and that for all eternity. I trust tonight that as we continue a little slow progress through this 10th chapter, that you'll see that God does. He does demand a particular kind of faith. But listen, this is the crucial part, and we'll pick this up as we go on through the chapter. This is the crucial part. God demands that when you hear the gospel, you believe it. And when we get into this next chapter, you'll see there is no intermediate step between hearing and believing. When you hear this, God commands you to believe it, to accept it, to abandon yourself to Christ as he's preached in the gospel. And he promises you'll be saved. What is your duty tonight? Your duty is your highest privilege. That is, there stands before you the blessed Christ of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your duty. It's also your privilege. And you shall be saved. May God grant you indeed that personal, necessary, saving response to the gospel of his dear son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.